I noticed last Concorder the government had provided 15 minutes for their own members to participate today, and nobody has taken up one single minute out of 15. And I think that speaks volumes about the priority that this government is giving to the profound crisis in our fishing and seafood industry. If you look across our coast, I don't know who they're talking to, because I speak to inshore fishermen, islands fishermen, offshore fishermen, the seafood industry, the aquaculture industry, and there is profound concern across the industry. A fisherman in recent days said to me that if the decommissioning scheme was made available again, he believes that even more would avail of it. Even more would avail of it, because they cannot see light at the end of the tunnel, and they do not see a sense of urgency in our government at all. Now, in terms of the negotiations at European level, Minister, you will know that there is serious, profound concern about the negotiations that are happening as we speak between the European Commission and Iceland. Iceland is a country with a population of 380,000 people. I think that's around the same population of the city of Cork. And if what has been suggested would go ahead, they would have almost equal access to blue whiting as our entire industry. And of course, our population is 5.2 million in this state, 7 million on the island. And these are our waters. This is our exclusive economic zone. Iceland are not a member of the European Union. So my question, Minister, and I don't have much time, and I would ask that you would please respond as quickly as you can, is, Minister, when did you become aware of the discussions between the European Commission and Iceland? What was the exact date?
So listen, towards the end of last year, Deputy McLaughlin, I don't recall the exact date, towards the end of last year, there would have been engagement by the European Commission with ourselves, consulting in relation to discussions in relation to Iceland. In relation to that, then, I have at all times fully briefed and engaged, as I always do, all of the fishing sector representatives in relation to how we would approach those discussions. And there has been no deal with Iceland. The reason for that, Deputy McLaughlin, is because the stance I have taken, because I have refused to accept and to agree to any mandate in relation to this, because I very much value the respect our waters. And as I said, over the last 4 years of negotiations, I've reduced the amount of Icelandic access to our waters and increased our quota.
Okay. Now, the European Commission, when they have engaged with the Irish fishing industry, are saying that they do have a mandate for discussions. Did you agree to that mandate?
No, there's no mandate for discussions, and no mandate to proceed and to do any negotiation here. There has been informal discussions between the European Commission and Iceland, which is often the case, but nothing can proceed unless there's a mandate provided by European member states to the Commission to proceed with negotiations. And as I say, I have been the only minister, actually, who has been forthrightly refusing to provide a mandate, because I have set very clear outlines under which any negotiation would take place, which respects our waters, and if the negotiations would take place, would see us get significantly increased quotas, which others will not agree to, and for that reason, there's been no mandate agreed.
So, just to be clear, in terms of the shape of the deal or draft deal that has been presented to the Irish fishing industry, you're very, very clear that you will oppose any deal between the European Commission and Iceland as the Irish fishing industry are united in demanding.
So the reason there has been no mandate is because of the position I've taken as the Irish Minister. I've consulted with our sector, and they're fully up to speed on everything that has happened here, and I've kept them up to speed at all times. What I've done in relation to the lines I've laid out in relation to the Commission is I've set a very high threshold, which is absolutely appropriate in relation to respecting our waters in terms of the fish and in terms of the fish coming to Ireland, should there be any deal. And, for example, in relation to blue whiting at the moment, our share of blue whiting is 14%. That's our quota. Okay. I have insisted that if there's to be any blue whiting transfer at European level, or any discussion with Iceland, or any mandate provided, it could only be in the instance where, at an absolute minimum, we would get a quota of 75%. The other member states are not agreeable to that, so there has been no mandate. But that's the very clear, hard position I've taken, and it's that clear, hard position I've taken which has meant there's been no movement or no progress in relation to the negotiations with Iceland.
Okay. So, Minister, just to be clear today, you are committing to stand by the Irish fishing industry and do not agree any deal with the European Commission unless they are in agreement with it. That's your position today.
No, that's not what I said there, because you'll find if you talk to the industry that there's very different views among them. And indeed, in fact, you'll also find that their views have been changing over the last number of weeks and months. What I've clearly said, I've consulted with them all at the start, consulted with them all right along the way, and I've laid down very hard lines. And obviously, when you're the only member state which is really preventing this mandate happening, you have to be credible. You have to have clear lines, you have to be able to defend them, and you have to be able to hold tight, otherwise you won't prevail. And that's the approach I've taken. Others have shifted in position along the way, but I've remained resolute, and I've laid out very hard lines in relation to, and I stick by those.
And just to conclude on that, because I've only got 4 minutes left, and I want to talk about inshore and islands fishermen and the crisis that they're facing. I want to leave with this, Minister, that you will look at the issue of Brexit. Clearly, the European Commission agreed a Brexit deal with the UK, accepting zonal attachment, right, rather than relative stability. So in other words, that the waters would benefit those who live closer to it. That's the basis of the Brexit agreement, zonal attachment. So will you examine the approach of the Irish government in terms of the entire value? Will you give an assessment of what is the entire value of all of the fish within the Irish exclusive economic zone? That's the 200-mile limit. I'm not asking you to respond to that now, but if you could undertake to supply those in the opposition with a full value of all of the fish in the exclusive economic zone of Ireland. What's the full value? What do we get? And then to look at the zonal attachment issue. I want you to respond. I haven't enough time left. So I've only got what I have. I want to just say this on the record. Minister, the National Inshore Fishermen's Association came to the Oireachtas Committee recently, and if you haven't had a chance to look back, please do look back at their presentation, or at least the transcript of it. It was harrowing, and as you know, there's almost 2,000 inshore fishermen across the state. They have a producer organisation. That was good news, as is the IIMRO, the Islands Organisation. But both of them are getting very limited support in terms of their producer organisation. So they're really trying to stand up for their communities with very limited resources. Will you look at that? Will you look at the issue of fuel subsidies? You know, fuel subsidies, nothing. You talk about tie-up scheme. Inshore and islands could not avail of that. So they've had no financial support to deal, and fuel is increasing again. So that's fuel supports, financial supports to the producer organisations. You know about the collapse of the crab and shrimp markets. Can you provide financial supports on that? So on those areas, I want to say to you that you've talked about piers and harbours. Investment in piers and harbours came from the Brexit Adjustment Reserve Fund. So European money for basically it's called redundancy money in the industry. That was given to make up for the huge loss of income to our industry. That money has been invested in piers and harbours. I would argue it should be central exchequer capital funding. Certainly a good proportion of it should be going towards that. So you've spent tens of millions of this Brexit Adjustment Reserve Fund money on piers and harbours. Why have you not given financial assistance directly as requested on fuel, on compensating for the collapse of crab and shrimp, on the issue of supporting the producer organisations? So there's that. And then finally, because you'll only have a bit of a minute then to respond to me, is on the area of aquaculture. And you'll know in a recent speech here that I talked about the impact of recent changes in terms of Brexit on aquaculture. They have new export requirements for the live bivalve mollusks. That's cost, logistics, paperwork and bureaucracy have all increased. And I would ask you to engage with IFA Aquaculture on this issue. because this is having a serious impact on their members, and I'd ask you to pay attention to that issue too. So that's all I have. Thank you, Minister.
The two members want to get in. There is only 30 seconds for the Minister to reply.
Yeah, OK, I'll keep it to 30 seconds. Thanks, Alaska and Corda. Listen, in relation to the producer organisation support, I have advocated, and for the first time we have seen established two inshore producer organisations, and they have the same funding available to them that other producer organisations would in the same structure that would happen. That's really important. And listen, in relation to the piers and harbours, there's been significant investment through Brexit, but also significant statement investment. If you look at the announcement I made last week, that is from national investment this year primarily. 9 million of it, of the 12 million, actually going to piers and harbours in Donegal. That's announced for the county council, local authorities. And listen, in relation to crabs and shrimp, I've been meeting with the inshore sector. The market obviously has dropped off there, but there's a further meeting today as well from my own team with them, and I'm continuing to engage there. Fuel subsidies, that's not somewhere I've gone. I did an extra tie-up scheme last year instead of doing a fuel subsidy. Prices have come down again, but it's still a cost. Obviously, the challenge with fuel subsidies is, once you go there, there's no revenue. For example, marine fuel doesn't have any VAT, doesn't have any tax on it, unlike other taxes. So it's tax-free, apart from VAT, which is reclaimable.